Let's talk. John Brown. Stories of Other Worlds. In Stories of Other Worlds, Colin Everard, a Bloomsbury published author, introduces us to the concept that we usually feel that we live and function in our particular world. However, this wonderful collection of short stories, because he has lived and travelled worldwide, takes a look at other worlds, including skiing in heaven. He is very much with us. I'm delighted to say that joining us live on the line now, I believe from Vienna, is the author of Stories of Other Worlds, and he is Colin Everard. Colin, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Are you receiving me loud and clear this morning?
Thank you.
Just a little bit about your background, because you have travelled and you have lived in an extraordinary life all around the world. Where did it sort of start? When did the travel bug sort of bite you?
Well, I could summarise by saying that, as with my wife also, we're very much products of the last World War. We were both bombed. We were both had our houses demolished. My wife actually, through the bombing, went to 9 schools. I was evacuated to the West Country of England, which I found to be not very pleasant. They treated me as an outsider. And in general, I mean, I didn't really have a terribly happy, looking back, that is, but at the time, I didn't have a very happy time as a youngster. And then afterwards, fortunately, my father sent me to this wonderful school, Dulwich College, which academically and as far as sports were concerned, were really fantastic. And I think that gave me a wonderful lift to my whole life.
Because Dulwich gives a community. It is a sense of community. It is a wonderful school, a fantastic cricket pavilion. A friend got married actually in that cricket pavilion. And did it give you a sense of wanting to go out and see more of the world because it is one of those schools?
Well, what happened after the last war, we all had to do our conscription service, and I was supposed to be sent to Korea to prepare for the war there that started in 1950 and get killed there, like most others. And while I was there, it was rather dangerous, although I was, of course, a young lieutenant, but it was quite a dangerous life there. But anyway, while I was there, the colonel called me one day and he said, "Look, you've had a terrible time down south. And so I think you should be pretty exhausted in various ways, especially mentally," I was 20 at the time. So he said, "They're having a huge invasion here of desert locusts and lots of people will die because they will eat their own weight in food every day. So a typical swarm may weigh between 20 and 30,000 tons, which they're eating every day. It's a poor country anyway." So that's when he said, "I'm sending you there for 3 or 4 months." And that's when I got to know all the locust people. And when I came back, I worked in a firm called Burberry's in Haymarket in London. And one day a man came in and said, "What are you doing here? You should be somewhere else." And I said, "Well, I may be somewhere else, but I'm working here." And then I began to think about it. So I wrote to the director of this locust control organization, and he arranged for me to be brought out immediately. And that was the beginning of what I call my locust life, which lasted about 10 years. And then after that, well, I was young. The organization was abolished. The plague had come to an end. And then I got in. I had a pilot's license anyway. So I got in, not that that was essential, but I did get into what we call technical cooperation with third world countries. And I've really, not dedicated would be the wrong word, because I've done it very happily. I've tried to work for the last 30, 40 years, finally, with third world countries. And there are about 150 of them in the world, so plenty of work to do in all of them.
Is it what inspires you then to work in? Is it the work in these countries? Is it the direct contact with the people, and the fact that you are going in and problem solving from the very start?
I think that you may well be correct, but I think one of the main reasons that I have enjoyed and tried to constructively work with these countries was the fact that, I mean, I know we live in a world where there will always be rich and poor, but some of them are so poor. I felt if I could contribute in some way to improving their lot, if you like, that it would be a good thing to do. I'm not a missionary or anything like that. I'm just, that's, we're all different. That's the way I happened to be made. And I enjoyed what I was doing. And I had in Asia, for example, where I ended up, 75 projects to improve air safety because they had a tremendous infrastructure problem in all respects. It was, their tourism was expanding at the rate of 10% a year. Even a developed country would have a colossal problem. And I talked the other day, I happened to be flying somewhere, and I said to the captain, I used to work in Asia and had those. And this captain said, yes, I know, and I would like to thank you very, very much for everything that you did. It was a small contribution, but everything helps.
You talk about, first of all, solving the locust problem, and then amongst many things, helping develop air traffic safety systems. It is one of the most important things being able to, as the saying would go, think out of the box, think creatively, so that you are able to come up with a solution, Colin. Is that maybe why you were so successful with these projects?
Well, thank you very much. We were, on the whole, successful, although, of course, I happened to be coordinating them, and there were every project had a project manager. I think one of my pluses, if I may mention it, perhaps because of Dulwich, I don't know why, but I've always sought the truth. And I always remember once sitting in a very large meeting in Vietnam, and I said, you have to do A, B, and C, because flying here is not safe. And if you don't do it, you're going to have an accident one of these days. And they all roared and more or less said, send him home. I said, you can send me where you like, but it will not change anything here. You've got to do so. And unfortunately, the following week, they did have an accident because most of their pilots in the civil transport area had been military pilots, and they just had this sort of complex. They thought they could do anything, and this fellow pilot, he came in on Bangkok, he was told to divert because of a huge storm, he didn't, and the aircraft crashed. So, but I think my main strength throughout the whole of my life has been to seek the truth, be truthful, and just, without being dramatic, say things as they are. And I think people then, they tend to get the message.
The book looks at what you describe as other worlds, because we all live in our own particular and in some cases peculiar world. Maybe now with social media, we think we know what other worlds are like, but you have to be on the ground, don't you? You have to be the sights, the smells, the sounds to really get a feel of a different culture and a different country.
I agree with you completely. If I may say so, I was only thinking yesterday, this is my sixth book, and in every other case, I had a very clear reason to write the book. And I really began to wonder, why did you write this one? Excuse me. First of all, my wife had died a few months earlier, so I was suffering from grief like any other person would do. And I suppose that was an element that I wanted, and I wanted to get back to distract myself somehow. Number two, I realized that my own world had changed very, very dramatically. And then I began to think, well, of course, we all live in our own worlds. We try to function in our own worlds. and then I should write a book about worlds. And then I thought, well, for me to write a book, I normally reckon a time span of about 5 years, not to write, but to find the publisher, et cetera, et cetera. Then I thought, I don't think I'm going to live for another 5 years. Why don't I write some short stories about other worlds? And that's what you have today.
In your experience, because I was at a lunch yesterday with some old African hands on one side and some old people who have been in Asia, and the underlying thing that we were talking about was the fact that, in general, despite what you see on the news and in your social media, people are, thankfully, generally good-natured, nice, and giving. Is that your experience as well? Is that what you're trying to prove as well, Colin, in your book?
Well, I'm not trying to prove it, but I agree with that very strongly. I've always felt the whole of my life I should avoid arguments, quarrels, and things like that, and always give rather unpleasant people a chance to be nice. And sometimes they can be quite nice. No, you're quite right.
What, looking back, is perhaps one of your favourite memories that appears in Stories of Other Worlds?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer. I would say the time that I spent in Asia, although I worked myself to the bone and living in Montreal, there was a 12-hour difference, for example, between the time in Bangkok, where we had a regional office, and the time in Montreal. So often I was working late at night. I would say that the time in Asia was very rewarding personally, and I hope I did some good somewhere. Incredibly busy. For example, I used to gauge our meetings, which were very important meetings and had to be monitored and all the rest of it. For example, one day, I stayed up all night writing a project document in Karachi in Pakistan, and then I left in the morning and had meetings in Sri Lanka. And in the afternoon, I was in the Maldive Islands, where they had gone from no tourism to 170,000 in the space of 18 months.
Good grief.
So, of course, they had a big problem in all respects, not to mention flight safety. So I was very, very keen and busy, and I hope I may have helped a little bit.
The book is called Stories of Other Worlds. It is by Carlin Everard, who we're speaking to today, and you can order it via our own virtual bookstore on TRE.radio. Colin, can I just say thank you for your time today, and may I wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Same to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.